Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to with me the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. I want to show you some things today there at the beginning of this. It's going to be a little different today, if I could be. I have took some counsel from the deacons and from my pastor, Dr. Mickey Carter, and we've been, I hate to say it, but I just said something to Brother Perkins, but I'm running along the same 100 days that Joe Biden has. And I told him, I said, I sure hope that I've been a better pastor than he has been president.
Amen.
Amen. And as we look to the future, I want you to look in the book of Joshua with me quickly. Pastor Carter gave me a Bible, and when we made the transition here in the church, and the church had voted on me, and he gave me a Bible and marked a verse that he had claimed for himself throughout his ministry, and said, written some things in the book, in the beginning of the Bible, just saying that he had claimed this verse for me as well. And I want you to see it in the first chapter of the book of Joshua. We'll read three verses, but it is verse 8 that he gave for me. So don't get ahead of me now and read verse 8. Read verse 7 with me as well. Verse 7 in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, it says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Verse 8 is the verse that he gave me. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Look at verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Turn with me to the 11th chapter of the book, if you would, today. Before I have these men, we've made some preparation for today, and we've talked about different things that we would present to our people. But in the book of Joshua, chapter number 11, God has given me a verse. And my pastor gave me a verse, and I found this verse in the book, and I'm going to claim this verse for me. And for my pastorate here at Landmark Baptist Church. Many of you know when I came here, God broke my heart to be with my pastor. He called me and said, "I need you to come and help me finish well." And so that's my heart. That's always been my heart. I'm thankful to be your pastor, and I'm thankful to be here, and not only to be the pastor, but also for my pastor to be with me and to stay in the church and to continue on with me. And so in Joshua chapter 11, God gave me this verse, and I'll be claiming this verse for my life and for the pastorate here. Verse 15, it says, "And the Lord commanded Moses' servant, as the Lord commanded Moses' servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." It is my desire, and what I'll present today are some things, and I have... The greatest pastor of all the world is Dr. Mickey Carter. He's my man of God and one of my heroes. And I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved, being trained here in this ministry. But many of you can drive down the street just like I do and realize that in 50 years, there are some things that were done, but now need to be redone. You can look around and there's some things, and even in our new gym and other things around our ministry, I really believe for a good part of my life, there'll be things that my preacher, many of you, some things that you don't even know about that my pastor has, in times sitting or driving to a meeting, he's told me his dreams and what God has laid upon his heart that we haven't finished yet. And those are things that are burdens for my life. Those are things that God has pressed upon me. Not just there, that we never got to them during his pastorate. And I want to see those things done. I want to see those things finished. And so I don't want to leave anything undone that God commanded my Moses to do in this life. So if you'll run the screen down, we've had some renderings and some things. And many of us at the New Year break, we presented some things as we made a transition about the Landmark Memorial. In our tower building over here, Pastor Carter had talked about starting a memorial wing and taking a floor and working on it. And we've been working on that, and we don't have a good rendering yet. We're still working on all the different things. But if you'll go ahead and hang that up, we've estimated some of the cost here. And so our desire is the two floors in the building that are unfinished are the 7th and the 8th floor right now. All we're proposing is to do the one memorial wing, which will be really decided by our pastor which one he thinks is better. But right now, for the 7th or the 8th floor of the tower building that you see here, it's 9 floors tall, so the 9th floor is the banquet room. And we're going to pretty much, the building, if you've ever seen it when it was being built, it's you're pretty much able to, the front side of the building, you can knock all the interior walls out of it and walk the length of the room. It has pillars and things. And so our desire is to do that, take all the inner parts of the rooms that were made and cap all the water off. You can imagine there's a lot of work to be done there, but most of it is just work. And I believe God has given us a church with a mind to work. And we want to see it done, and so, but it also costs some money. So the estimation for our landmark memorial is $50,000. Now, I know the gauge says $200,000, but that we're going to have to divide and conquer. You got the other slide, gentlemen, up in the room. The other thing that you see here is our two-story building. Many of you drove by it today if you came through town. And you may think it looks worse than it ever has, but that is because we began to work on it a while ago, the beginning of this school year. We began to do what did not cost us money to do. We started to tear out a lot of the interior and get it down to the studs, because it's going to need wiring and plumbing and drywall and all new fixtures and all those things. The building has been in disrepair for a lot of years. We had a lot of it limits our ability to minister to married students not having this building. This building has for years housed a lot of foreign married students, and since I've been the executive vice president of the college, we've not been able to house anyone in the building. And some of that is in several things. Some hurricanes have come through, and we just didn't do some things. But the building, the bones of the building are solid. The building itself is worth the money being put in it. It's this building that you're seeing is older than our tower building. The people that worked on the tower is over 100 years old. This building housed people that were working in the tower while they were building it. And so again, the proposal and what the deacons and I and Pastor Carter have talked about is we want, as a church over this year, we want to be able to start giving to this project so that we can raise this $200,000 that we need to do both the memorial wing of the tower and also this building, and be able to, again, bring in some foreign married students, and then bring in, and again, we're not against American students coming too, amen? And so, if you would, you guys can run those things up. Thank you, men. There are men that worked hard at these renderings. These are all these things were done by people on our staff who are gifted. I want you to, the message for the sound room as a title is Leaving Nothing Undone. Leaving Nothing Undone. I'll read the verse again in Joshua chapter 11, if you would, and then we'll move on today a little bit. But I just want to tell you today, I appreciate the church. I appreciate your vision throughout the years to follow your pastor and Dr. Mickey Carter. And I'll ask you now, I believe we've had a good start, a good first 100 days. But I don't want to leave anything undone. I don't want to, at the end of my life, come to a place where I know God told me to do something and I didn't present it. It's not easy. I know that you may not think that that's a lot of money, but it's a lot of money to me. But I know collectively that as a church, that in God's family, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, right? I just got to find the hills that it's on, right? No, I know that this, that God has got every dime, and he can give it through us if we'll trust him for it. I want to tell you today that leaving nothing undone, I want to tell you the areas I don't want to leave anything undone. Look at the verse with me. Joshua chapter number 11 and verse number 15. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so Joshua, he left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. There are three areas, I believe, if we're going to go forward and do and be. And what are those areas that I see? I see number one, the first thing that I would say that we need to leave nothing undone is in the area of building. Not the buildings that I showed you, but in the areas of building the local church. Now, I know this, if you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, and you don't have to turn today, but Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it's red lettered in your Bible. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord Jesus Christ will build his church, but I thank God that he uses people to do it. He uses people to give to the church. He uses people to go out and tell other people about Jesus. He uses the radio station to get his message out. He uses tracts that people take and mail to people, and he uses that to build his church. But folks, we have a lot of things. We have a college and a day school. And it takes more than just the building of those things. We have to continue to fulfill the Great Commission and to build the local church by people, but there's buildings that those people meet in. We have classrooms, and if you've been in them, they've been getting better and better and better. And I thank God for it. A lot of our men work and paint, and we've changed whiteboards, and we've added televisions. You thought a smartphone was cool. They even have some smart boards in there. I don't know what that is. I don't even know how to work it, but they got them. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm glad that we've got some things that, and God's people have given, and we've worked and we've done. We have a building to work on. I'm thankful that we're not going, hey, we need to raise $2.5 million to buy a building. God has given us some things, but there's work to be done to finish it off on the inside. Listen, today, in the area of building, there's more than just the physical labor. There's spiritual building that needs to be done. I realize as a pastor, and one of the desires of my heart is to continue to edify the church that God, to build it up, to give you doctrine, to help give you reproof when we need it, to help us grow up as a body of believers. Some of you have been a Christian longer than I've been alive, but still you've got growing to do, and I've got growing to do. And you say, well, how? If you're a young man, how in the world can you do that? Because the Word of God is just that good. Anybody could preach the book and we can grow if we listen. Anybody can stand up, and when God chooses a man and sets him aside and says, this is the man I want, then when we show up and we listen and we give our hearts to the Word of God, God can help us. He can build us up in Him. Hey, today I don't want to leave nothing undone in this life. I don't want to leave anything undone in the area of building. I don't want these two hands to be slack from studying and helping the church grow by preaching. I don't want these hands or my feet to stop when there's times and places that I ought to be soul winning. I don't want anything to be left undone in the areas of bus routes and building them. I don't want anything to be left undone in the area of Sunday school and getting out and building it. And I don't want anything to be left undone in the area of physical labor that needs to be done that will honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey folks, these buildings are not our buildings. These buildings belong to God. That tower belongs to God. Our camp belongs to God. And when we work on it, He deserves first place. Not just in my life, but in everything. I'm not talking about the Taj Mahal. I'm talking about something that is finished and functional for His honor and glory. Amen and amen. Amen. And more than that, I don't know about you, but I don't want to leave anything undone in the area of battling. Our ministry has been marked by fights. I'm just going to tell you, our preacher has been in some knockdown, drag out, and not just our preacher. Hey, you've heard the stories, and some of you were a part of it. When they came out to the camp to get our kids and to take them away, they locked the gate and met them with guns and said, over our dead bodies. Amen. Hey, and God led us to win that fight. Who in the world knew the governor's granddaughter was on the property? Amen? He wasn't happy about that. He took them to the woodshed over that. Do you know that he made that social worker come and apologize to our preacher? Amen. He said, please, preacher, don't hurt me. Amen. Hey, please tell the governor that I gave you my greatest respect in this meeting. Hey, folks, I'm just here to tell you, God can do anything. More than we could ever ask or think of Him. Not just in the physical area of building, but in battling. We live in a world that is quickly changing. We have over the last couple of years seen that how quickly that the government could want to shut down the Lord's church. We have seen how quickly that they want to get their spider web all into the integral works of the church. And I believe with this presidency, through the IRS and so many other things, they are trying to get into everything that we call holy. Rather than, again, the group that wants to have separation from church and state needs to be taught just what separation of church and state is. It's not for the church to stay out of the government. It's for the government to stay out of the church. Amen and amen. And I want to continue battling like my Moses always had. Listen, Joshua was always in a fight. When he went over and crossed over Jordan, I'm here to tell you, he didn't stop. Just listen, he took on not just being the general of the army, but now he led the people and he judged them and he battled. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, I can tell that this church and our people here have been praying for me. Amen. I need that. I desperately need in this battle and in this age for the church to lift up their pastor before the Lord. Amen. To hold him up before them. I can feel it. I can tell many of you said, boy, you know, some of you have said, boy, I noticed since you take the church, boy, just the difference in preaching. There ain't no difference in this old country, boy. There's no difference in my preparation. There's no difference in my lips. I'm still like Moses. My lips are, I've got something wanting in that thing. But the difference is the prayers of God's people. The difference is God putting his hands and my pastor praying for me. My pastor, I can't spend any time with Dr. Carter without him saying, I am praying for you. I desperately need that, folks. Our church desperately needs to pray, not just for me, but for each other. You know, the person that we often pray the most for is our children and our family. Amen. This is our family, folks. Amen. This is our people. When we bleed Jesus. And we ought to be praying for one another. We ought to love one another. We ought to focus on the people that sit in the pew with us. And when they're not there, we ought to not just take notice, but give them notice that we noticed that they weren't here. Amen and amen. This battling is beyond just this idea of the government against us, but what about those that would be so-called Bible believers that don't stand for the book being perfect? What about those that say, well, I believe that it's, you know, it's preserved, but I don't believe it's inspired? Listen, I came from some stock, and I'm a Baptist, a Big B Baptist, amen? I said at homeschool curriculum, I would be a poor rooster if I didn't crow in my own barn. I'm a Big B Baptist. I stand for the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. I'm looking for the return of Jesus Christ, but I want to stand for everything he stood for. I want to stand for the doctrines that were once delivered to the saints. I want to stand for the faith that was delivered to the saints. I want to stand for this book. Not just that I believed it, but I believed it so much that I did the things that were therein. Joshua wasn't just commanded to believe the book, but to act on the book, to get to work for the book, and not to leave anything undone that needed to be done that Moses was commanded. Hey, the Great Commission is one of the things that's been commanded and passed on to the local church. I don't want to leave anything undone. I don't want to leave any battle unfought that needs to be fought. If you know this book, you know Joshua fought some battles and they are still in the news today. You can't help but look and see that some of the shortcomings of God's people in the fight and in the battles that they should have finished off and they should have did according to the word of God, they're still fighting those battles today. Rockets fly into Israel because of battles that did not get taken care of. Joshua passed off the scene and he said, for as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was already coming to a day of apostasy, of those that would turn back and go back to the things that they believed on the other side of the Red Sea. He had already come to a place where he said, some of you have already gotten soft. This is a church that's always stood in battle. This is a church when their pastor was in peril, they came together and stood with him. Amen. Even to take up arms against others because they needed to stand for the book and for what was right and for their church. I'm going to tell you, and I'm not trying to be a prophet this morning, but I believe this, there will probably come a day if Jesus tarries his coming in my lifetime and in yours, that we will have to take up arms again. Amen and amen. I'm just here to tell you, folks, if we're going to live in this ungodly world a holy life, there's going to come a day of reckoning with this government. If we don't vote this bunch out of office, there's going to come a day that we're going to have to stand. And many of us will probably go on to be with the Lord in heaven, but that's all right. I'd rather stand in battle and die in battle then lay down my guns, then lay down my arms, then lay down that is guaranteed in the Constitution that's guaranteed in the Word of God, that are unalienable rights, that were not given to me by government, but were given to me by God. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. I don't want to quit battling until it's all fought, till it's all done, till God, He has already won the victory. Why would we give up when we know what the end is? Why would we give up when we know how powerful our God is? Why would we give up when we know that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse all sin and the world just needs to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Why would we lay down arms? Why would we quit building? Why would we quit battling in a day that we can see that Jesus is approaching? His return is on its way. Why would I ever let up? Why would I ever quit? Why would I ever give in and go liberal? When I know, when I meet my Savior face to face, He's going to hang His head in shame at me. Not hear, "Well done, but you left it undone." Hey folks, I don't want to leave anything undone in building. I don't want to leave anything undone in my battling, and I sure don't want to leave anything undone in my believing. I've said some things that I believe about God, but I just want to tell you, I believe that God is the same God that stood by my pastor, the same God that took that building and, when nobody thought it could be done or it should be done, made it a landmark for God's glory. Amen. Hey folks, when nobody thought that he could win against the government, when the government wanted to come get the kids, and everybody, listen, when everybody thought that they ought to close their doors and kowtow to the government, our preacher stood up and said, "Hey, I don't know what you boys are fixing to do down there in the county, but we're not closing. Amen. You just know you're going to have to send your trucks down and take everybody from my church down to the jailhouse, because we're not closing." Amen. Hey, that's what a preacher does. That's what a man with some backbone does. That's what a man that believes God is sovereign does. I don't want to leave anything undone in believing. I want to believe God can still save. I want to believe God can still have revival. I don't want to leave it undone. I want to stand up and say, "God, give us revival in my day. I've seen and I've read about it. I've heard about it in the past. But God, I believe that you're the same God. I believe that you have the same power. And if you so choose to use this church and this place to bring revival, then God, use me. I want to see it done." Hey, I want to believe. I want to believe that God can still do at camp what He's always done. Save lost sinners. I want to see God do what He's done always through the college, train choice servants of God. I want to see in the day school, God raise up patriots that believe in Jesus Christ and go out from this place and are good citizens for His honor and glory. I want to see Him do that in our staff. I want to see them go through the town. Do you know that we live in Haines City, Florida? When I came to Bible college here, it was just a podunk town. I told you before, I didn't know what they did here in this town. It was Haines City. I thought they made underwear here. Amen. And some t-shirts. That's what I thought. I came down here and I've realized I love this town. Not just because it's beautiful, but now God has placed His hand upon a man and a church and raised it up for His honor and glory. And it isn't Haines City necessarily that I love, but I love His church in Haines City, Florida. Amen. I used to be able to knock houses all over this town as a college student, and there wasn't anybody. We would go to Poinciana and points beyond before we found somebody who did not know what Landmark Baptist Church was. But now, folks, people have turned over. People are moving in. They're building houses. Every time I drive to my bus route, I can count 6 more houses that people are living in from week to week. They're throwing them up, and people are moving. They're bought and paid for before they ever break ground. And we knock those doors, and I say, "I'm from Landmark Baptist Church." And they look at me like a deer in the headlights. They don't know anything about our church. They don't know anything about Jesus Christ. They moved from somewhere way up north, and they always tell me how they avoided the snow and the cold to come here. And I said, "Well, let me tell you about the person that's most important in our, more than my church. Let me tell you about Jesus." Amen. Hey, folks, I don't want to leave anything undone in believing that God can still use door-to-door soul winning. to win the lost, to bring people in the church. I don't ever want to quit. I live in a day and age where people, if you take a poll among pastors in the U.S., they think that that's so old-fashioned and so out of date. They say, we need to drop that mess off the site. No, no, no. I don't want to leave anything that my Moses commanded me to do. I don't want to leave it undone. Hey, some of you went out this Saturday. You know it still works. Some of you went out, you teenagers and college students, some of you went out every Wednesday night with us, and you know it still works. The problem is we don't work it like we used to. The bus route still works if we would still work it. Sunday school still works if we'd work it. Instead of just showing up and trying to figure out what I'm about to teach, but we get in and study and beg God for something for these little kids that are going to sit in front of me, and then pour yourself out to them. It still works. Right now, kids all over the property are hearing about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a junior church class, and no doubt will be saved today because of what all kinds of different people did. The bus routes, Thursday, Saturday, Wednesday, soul winning. Hey, folks, I don't want to leave anything undone. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. If I'm not going to leave anything undone, I have to have something that happens to my life. Can I tell you where this desire not to leave anything undone started for me? This desire to see nothing left behind. I see Isaiah here in chapter number 6 of the book of Isaiah. He says here that, it gives us the date of the year that King Uzziah died in verse 1. And in verse 2, he talks about the seraphims, and each one had 6 wings. He describes them, how they flew about. And then in verse 3, he says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. That's the God I want to believe in. That's the God. I don't want to believe in some lesser thing. Or a God that is not triune holy. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Verse 4, and the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Look at verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Can I just say that started for me a long time ago. As a 15-year-old young man, I grew up in church, and I knew all the things that there was to know about church, man. I knew that I was supposed to dress up, and I knew I was supposed to be quiet when the preacher was preaching. I knew I was supposed to sit up. I knew when I was supposed to get up at the end of the service, and I knew when I was supposed to sit down. I knew when I was supposed to not run and when I could run in the church. Amen. I got in trouble a couple times for that. Running up, we had hallways. This is Florida. Everything dumps outside. So you can run here, but man, in the north, I run up and down the hallway, and my dad would, well, so I'm telling you, I found out what a belt can do to a boy. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hey, folks. But I remember that day that I saw God high and lifted up in my life, and that I was undone, that I was lost in my sins, in my transgressions against that holy, holy, holy God. Amen. And that He was so high and He was so holy, and I could never work. I could never work hard enough. I could never build. I could never battle. And I could never believe enough in a holy God to be saved. But then I realized that God left heaven and sent His Son to die on Calvary and pay for my sins. And that if I would put my faith and my belief in His finished work. You know, folks, our town is full of people that believe in God. They believe in all types of forms of Him. But they add their works, they add their baptisms, they add everything in their belief. But it's got to be Jesus and Him only, and Him crucified, that you believe in to be saved. You may have found your way in here today and you think that you're on your way to heaven because you were baptized, or because you were a Sunday school teacher, or because you were baptized as a child. Nobody will get to heaven because of baptism. You may come and you say, well, I've been a pretty good person. I've never lied. I've never stolen. Well, you just told another one. Hey, it all it's got to be is a little tiny white one. That'll send people to hell as well. But I realized that I was undone. Look at the verse with me. It says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He goes down and look at verse 7. He calls out to them. And that in verse 6, the seraphim takes something off the altar and takes it with the tongs. And he takes this hot coal off the altar and he brings it and touches the lips of the prophet. And he laid it in verse 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched my lips. And thine iniquity is taken away and thy sins are purged." Can I just say this? As a preacher, one day I realized that I was undone, that I was lost without hope. Nothing I could do was going to change anything. But Jesus came and died on Calvary. Amen. And the Bible, I mean really specifically in the book of Hebrews, says that he left this place. And that one day he walked into a place that was holy. It was a place not made with hands. It was a tabernacle in the heavenlies. And he walked into that place with his own blood. And as the high priest of my life, he walked in and he applied the blood to the mercy seat in heaven. And one day a 15-year-old boy looked up to heaven and said, "I need that offering, that sacrifice you made for me. I need you to apply that to my life. I need that to be my own. I'm undone. I'm lost in my sin. I need to be saved." Hey, folks, mercy left heaven that moment. Amen. And it didn't touch my lips. It landed in my heart. And I can't tell you exactly. I'm looking forward to one day when scientifically I can tell you what happened at that moment. But I wasn't the same anymore. That undone boy was put back together. That thing that was undone in me, that hole in my heart, now I was complete again. According to the scripture, it says that my spirit was quickened. A part of me was dead and now was made alive unto God. Can I just say this today? If you're here and you're undone, you know you're lost. You thought maybe works would get you there, but you know today it's not. You thought your baptism was going to get you there. You thought that you had Jesus plus my works, Jesus plus baptism, something. But today you still know you're undone. You still know deep inside of you that there's a hole that nobody else can fill but the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you come and receive him today? Hey, well, I've been at this church for 50 years. Hey, you come and be saved just like anybody else. Amen. I just showed up and visited today. Step out and come and receive a Savior that can save your eternal soul. Amen. Hey, folks, today, more than anything else, more than this building, more than the battling, more than anything else, I don't want to leave anything undone without preaching the gospel. Amen. If you're here and today you heard the good news again and you know in your heart you need to be saved, please don't leave it undone today. Don't leave anything undone. You come and be saved today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Stand with me to your feet. The musicians are going to come. If God has spoken to your heart, at the first note of music that is struck, would you step out and come? I'll meet you in the front. I'll take your hand and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. As Brother Bert sings, you come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and wait. Not
bowed and eyes closed today. If you're here and you've left something undone, you know you're on your way to heaven, but you haven't been baptized yet, why would you leave something undone in your life? Why don't you come? The water's warm and it's ready for you. You know you need to be baptized. Don't leave it undone. It's something that God commanded every believer to step out in the first step of obedience and to be baptized. Boy, it'd be good to have you come and join our church today. So many of you have come and you've come and you've been a part, but you've never joined us through believer's baptism. Don't want you to be fearful of that. You say, well, I'll have trouble getting in the tank. We'll make a way. God can make a way for anything. Amen. We'll take care of it. Why don't you just come, as Brother Bert sings, come and join us today if that's what God laid on your heart.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without.
Always brokenhearted when no one walks out and gets saved, but I know somewhere on the property today that there's a little kid somewhere bowing her head right now and receiving Amen. Jesus Christ. I thank God for that. Amen. Sometimes they're the ones that lead us along, don't they? They're the ones that inspire us. Thank you so much. I tried to bare my heart a little bit today, and I do pray that you'd pray with me. You know, D.L. Moody, he was on a ship crossing the Atlantic, and they had a fire down in the cargo hold. And the man that was with him, his song leader, said, Mr. Moody, let's go to the front of the bow and pray. He said, let us pray and throw buckets of water on this fire. Amen. And so I know that we need every one of you to pray, but every one of us have prayer and something else that we can do to make this become a reality for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's do that as we go. Amen. I want you to do this. Pray this afternoon. I know that she would be upset with me. She's probably watching. Miss Carter's not feeling very well, and Pastor slipped out to get some things for her. And so as we close in prayer today, let's pray for them, Brother Perkins. You pray for Miss Carter.
Let's pray. Father, we do love you this morning, Lord. We do thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. And Father, we do thank you for the message that we just heard, Lord. We just ask, Father, that you'll help us to stay in the battle, Lord. And Father, we do raise Sister Carter up to you this morning, Lord. We just pray that you'll touch and help to heal her body, Lord. And we pray that you'll, Pastor will find the things that he need to comfort her today. And we just ask your blessings upon her. And Father, as we dismiss this morning, we pray that you'll take us home safe and bring us back safe tonight. We love you. We praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.